can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ariane, and of course we have Heidi here with us.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about, well, the first movie we're going to be talking about is called The Act of Killing. This movie was released July 19th, 2013. It was directed by Joshua Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the summary of this film is basically... The filmmakers expose the horrifying mass executions of accused communists in Indonesia during 1965-1966 area, and the people who are credited for the crimes against these so-called communists or accused communists.
Mm-hmm. It was also against ethnic Chinese as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, who are living in Indonesia.
Right. And I think China is like right next door.
So. Yeah, so there are a fair amount of people who live in... Yeah,
exactly, in Indonesia at that time. And I think that this was somewhere around the Vietnam War area, too. It was kind of around the same time. They didn't have anything to do with each other, but it was... I think it was around the same time. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that because in Vietnam, the reason they were killing was similar to, like, because of, like, political influence, stuff like that. But anyway, this film focuses, the main person it focuses on, his name is Anwar Kongo, and he was one of the men credited for a lot of the murders and crimes during that time. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because he's still out and free. Like, he never got charged.
Right.
That's what's so crazy to me. So Josh's whole idea was to expose the situation. And Anwar, I feel like watching it, Anwar took it as almost like, look at me, look at what I did. And he even had input in the film, was like, no, I wanted to show me like this, like I'm super cool. And I'm like,
right,
this super awesome old gangster guy, you know what I mean? So that's what blew me away, like at first, because he was so like, he wanted it to be all about him and all the horrific things that he did. Now I do want to point out that during that time, over 1 million Indonesian citizens were killed. And a lot of them were ethnic Chinese who they accused of being, communists at that time. Super sad.
Yeah. And also of note is that the U.S. supported these killings.
Yeah.
Like, there are papers that have been released to the public that talk about the U.S. support of this. Mm-hmm. And as we were saying, like, relating to the Vietnam War, like, the U.S. entered the Vietnam War in 1965. So that was during the time of these killings. And, like, as we all know, there's, like, the U.S. history of anti-communism and not supporting communist movements. So, like, the idea of, like, oh, like, they're killing communists.
Yeah, let's...
You know, like, we can support that, kind of, like, similar to Vietnam. Like, oh, well, we're killing communists,
yeah,
so we're okay
exactly.
with that.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Right. And then for America just to be like, oh, yeah, you do you. You're just kind of helping us out on the side. I mean, that's
just... And the U.S. hasn't, like, apologized for these things.
No, yeah.
And, yeah. And, and also, like, Anwar is a gangster.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, that's... A lot of the people who committed these crimes are gangsters.
Yeah.
And so the government was basically allowing gangsters to go kill like a million people of their own citizens.
Yes. And of just being accused of, like, I think that there's no definite they were actual, you know, communists. It's just like, oh, you could be, so you're going to die.
Right.
There was never, you know, a system to where they can differentiate who was and who wasn't. It's just like, whoever we think you are, you're going to die. And I feel like it's so horrible because it also showed how involved the paramilitary leaders and the country's military in general was involved with this massive massacre. Mm-hmm. Like, they just did not care. In fact, I know it said that they were actually the ones who kind of like said, go execute these people and then just do it as you're at your own free will. Like, we're going to like just kind of look away as you do your business and we're going to just pretend like you're just helping us out.
Right. Because they were, because by getting rid of all these people, getting rid of the opposition of the like military and of the power, because they overthrew a prime minister and then kind of like in a military coup, sort of.
They overthrew, like, it's like the military overthrew the entire government that they had.
And that's what, like, that gave the gangsters this freedom to go do these things. And then after that, was there then another government that's not a military that took over?
Yeah, they call themselves, like, I forget, it was the young...
Oh, that's their that's their military, though.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they have a military, which is also, like... I mean, watching this, I'm like, I feel like you're all just talking very openly about all of your corruption.
Yeah.
You know, because even in the ruling government right now, after the military, after the military overthrew the prime minister, then they got a new prime minister. But that prime minister just kind of works with the military and these kind of these gangsters.
Yeah.
Just continue like extorting people.
Yeah.
And kind of doing whatever they want.
It's so sad. And yeah, they haven't convicted or held accountable any of the men who did these crimes. You know, they know they're there, they know where they live, they know their families, and they're just like, well, we're just gonna pretend like it didn't happen.
Right.
And it's like, why? How do you do that?
Right. And so many people are aware of what these guys did.
The whole country.
Yeah.
The whole country. And then I mean, it was it hurt my feelings so bad. It was so disheartening to hear the way they boasted about what they did and how they did it. I was like, you're just... And then even in some instances, like, the dude Anwar had a smile on his face and was like, oh, yeah, I did it like this. And it's like, are you crazy?
Yeah, they he's, like, walking them through with, like...
Step by step.
Like, with props. I mean, not the part, which I feel like we'll talk about later, where they're, like, making a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
But, like, there are scenes when he's like, oh, this is where I killed hundreds of people.
Yeah.
This is how I did it. Exactly. With this kind of tool, I will show you what I did. And then, like, after that, he's dancing.
Yeah.
Like, the cha-cha.
Yeah.
And there's a guy there. He's like, oh, he's a happy man.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know? Well, even before, for that scene, like, in the movie, he's like, this is how I, you know, sleep at night, basically, is what he said, is, like, to get this out of my mind, after I killed somebody and somebody else cleaned it up, he said that he would drink a lot, he would smoke a lot of weed, and then he would take some ecstasy, go dance and party it up, and just kind of forget that it ever happened. And it's like, how do you do that? You are ruthless. You are this ruthless person. And it was just crazy to see. Right.
Also, later in the film, you sort of see him, like, talk about it more and more. And I feel like he sort of, I don't know if I would say it was remorse, but I feel like it started to hit him a little bit.
Most definitely.
Like, the more that he talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, and because he kept... It's also, like, not just that they're boasting. I feel like some of them who are involved in the film, some of the gangsters who are involved, want to have the truth be known.
Yeah.
You know, or are okay with everyone knowing what happened.
Right. Well, I feel like there are people already know who they are. So I think that this is just, like, a more of, now the world gets to know who we are. Because they felt like this movie was just going to be, like, a super box office hit, and everybody's going to know. And it's like, do you realize after people watch this, they're going to hate you. They're not going to love you and, like, you know, promote or whatever, what you did, and say it was right. I was just, it was hard to watch for me. Because I was just like, ew, I don't like you right now. You're like the worst person.
I know. It was amazing how open they are. And so I feel like Yeah. I mean, one, how open they are, how boastful they are, and then how they're talking about how they deal with their guilty conscience.
Yeah.
You know, because there's another man, too, who comes in who's like another former gangster and a friend of Anwar.
Yeah.
And he basically is saying, like, I don't have nightmares about this.
Right.
I don't have trouble sleeping.
Yeah. And that was after Anwar, like, kind of confided in him. Like, they're out fishing and Anwar says to him, you know, like, there's something wrong with me. Like, I have nightmares about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I don't sleep at night because I'm scared of the nightmares. And this other gangster guy, I don't even remember his name.
Like Addy.
Yeah.
Addy.
Yeah. I think it was Addy.
Uh-huh.
And he basically just told him, you know, that's because you're weak. You have a weak mind.
Yeah. And he's like, just get like. He said it's because of your nerves. Go get like nerve, brain, vitamins.
He called him brain vitamins.
Yeah, he did.
What
he said, go to a psychologist to get brain vitamins.
Yeah, he's like, they're professionals. They'll help you. They'll just give you brain vitamins. You'll be fine. I was like, what? Are you serious?
And I'm also like, what psychiatrist are you going to go to? Tell them you killed thousands of people and they're just going to be like, take these vitamins.
Right, here's vitamin B, vitamin G. He'll be fine, you know? No, and that's what I felt bad for. It's hard to say you feel bad for somebody that's done such horrible things that, like, you know, you kind of feel bad that he's confiding in a friend and his friend is just like, you're just a weak little punk, kind of.
Yeah. You know? His friend actually was interesting because I felt like the movie's kind of like it follows Anwar.
Yeah.
And
his story.
And his friend. And he has another friend, too, whose name I can't remember.
Was it the dude who...
Like, Rebby or... The bigger guy,
yeah, who's always dressed as a woman. That was so weird.
We will get into that.
Yeah.
But so he's like, the movie kind of follows Anwar, but then his friend Addy comes. Addy. Okay, yeah. So his friend Addy comes, who's the one who tells him you're weak and you need brain vitamins.
Yeah.
And at first, Addy didn't talk that much, but as they're talking more, he's basically saying, like, he's, like, very aware of the movie. He's like, people are going to know about this, and we have to decide if we want them to know the truth. Because they're going to find out that the communists didn't do anything. They weren't cruel. We're the ones who were cruel.
We're the cruel ones,
and we're the ones who did all these crimes. And then everyone's kind of like, yeah. Like, they just kind of move on.
Right. Just,
you know?
Yeah, don't forget what you have to say. We're going to show it anyway.
Yeah. Or, like, we don't care. That's fine.
Yeah.
And he was scarier to me because Anwar... And not that I like really feel bad for this person.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, like he showed a little bit of remorse.
He did.
And you can tell that it bothers his psyche.
Oh,
and
his
friend is just like, oh, whatever, you're weak.
He's
scarier to me.
Right. And it's so crazy because if you look at them, like physically see what they look like, you would think that Anwar, he just looks like a more creepy kind of guy and a more like ruthless kind of guy than his friend. Like his friend just, you know, you would just be like, really? He didn't really do that. But he's the one who you're like, oh my gosh, you're the psycho. Like,
right.
And Anwar is like really throughout the movie and even towards the end, like if you watch it towards the end, that's when you're just really, you really kind of feel for Anwar, regardless of the horrible, horrible things that he did, you can see the remorse just like flooding his whole, like him in general, because he ends up like breaking down and crying. He went back to the area where he said at the beginning, oh, this is where I would murder a lot of people and just, you know, handle it. And then as he was walking up there and looking around, he's like, he vomits like twice. He's just like, is physically sick about what he'd done.
Right.
And I was like, good, you should feel that way.
Right.
You know, that's what I thought that was so interesting about the movie was like from the beginning to the end, his remorse just building and building and just the regret in him and the hurt and the pain that he was going through mentally. Like you can see it all over him, all over, just kind of building until it's just like a complete breakdown.
Right.
And I really liked seeing that in a person that has done something so horrible, because I've seen so many, like, you know, if you watch any cop shows or whatever, like these people are just like, yes, so I did it. It's like, really? Like,
right.
You don't feel bad at all?
This is a very like human story. Like, I feel like, like there is the terrible fact of what happened, but I feel like it's not about that history as much. It's more about humans.
Exactly.
And it's about how humans deal with the concept of like this of murder and how they deal with either their friends being murdered, their families being murdered, or them being the murderers.
Right.
And kind of seeing how the human condition deals with that and copes or doesn't cope, you know?
For sure. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue talking about The Act of Killing.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movies Podcast. We're going to continue talking about The Act of Killing. You know, where we left off was how we were describing Anwar's remorse that had come over him throughout the movie. I want to back up a little bit and just say, like, when you're watching the film on how they're making the movie, you can, there was a part in it where they go throughout the villages and ask, or basically tell the people working there, you know, we need money. We need money for a certain reason. We're not going to tell you, just give us money. And you can see that the villagers or the people who are living there were still so scared of Anwar, because they all knew who he was and who his team was, or his like crew members or whatever you want to call them. And I mean, they give him the money, and then they're like, there was a part where they were with this dude. He looked like he was Chinese, and they were like, give us money. You're like our dad. We're going to come to you for money. Give us the money. And so he fills an envelope with some money and then gives it to him. And they're like, this is all you're going to give us? Like, no, give us more. Give us more. And so he like looks around and he's kind of like, I don't have any more to give you, but okay, like, here's some more. And he's like stuffing the envelope with more money, and you can just see the terror in his face. Like, I have to give these guys money or they will kill me. And then after they took the envelope, they were like, now just say, you know, you gave this money to us of your own free will, like, and you're happy about it, right? And you can just see like this scary smile, like of fear on his face. Like, yeah, I'm happy about giving you this money. I felt so bad. I was like, are you serious? You just punked him into giving you guys money and then are making him say he did it and he's happy about it. Like, no, he's not happy about it. Look at his face.
Right.
That hurt me so bad to watch. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard.
Right. And in that scene, they're going, it's like in a shop. Like, yeah. A bunch of shops are there, like, yeah, little stalls. And they say, like, we're going to go to all the Chinese.
Yeah.
Like, all the ethnic Chinese. Yeah. And as they're going to these Chinese, like, shop owners.
Yeah.
There's this the one guy who's like, oh, I, like, hate the smell of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's such, it's gross. It like, is. It's really hard to watch.
Yeah. It's like they loathe ethnic Chinese. I was just like, you guys?
Right.
I feel like you can't really say that, because I guarantee you're mixed with Chinese somewhere. So how are you going to say that?
It was hard. Also, I would also like to talk about in this movie, it's like complicated to explain.
Yeah.
Because this is a documentary. But then in the documentary, it's like the filmmakers, like the director, yeah, Joshua Oppenheimer, told Anwar and the gangsters, we're making a movie and you guys are also making a movie. Like, I don't know if they said, the movie you're making is the only thing we're showing. I don't know how they clarified that.
Yeah.
But basically, the gangsters are also allowed to make a movie about themselves and about what they did.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only way that Joshua was able to get the message out there.
True.
Instead of like sitting them down and saying, you know, let's just talk about it. Tell us what you did. Instead of doing something like that, I don't feel like they would have been as open unless you told them, hey, let's make a movie about you guys.
Yeah.
And you tell us all the business while we film the documentary.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like they had to go about it that way.
I agree. Yeah, for sure. And because they kind of want to do, they like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because they all love movies and they film it in like different genres, like on different like sets.
Yeah.
And also it's like,
it's so weird.
Like if you're watching a home movie that's like a kid has made,
that's what it looks like.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it was, I wrote in my notes, like, it's hard to watch because of how horrible these actions are, but also how awkward.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. And the makeup was horrible.
Oh, my God.
Their ideas were just so ridiculous. I was like, you really think this is good? Because it looks horrible.
It was like, you guys are definitely gangsters, not movie stars.
Yeah.
It was hard. But what I also loved about this was this strange mix of, like, fiction and reality. Like, I feel like this is going to make me sound very pretentious, but it, like, reminded me, like, when I was in college and, like, studying art, and, like, when you watch, like, an art movie that's almost, like, terrible, but is talking about something deeper.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, these weird, like, surreal scenes when, like, you're in the countryside, you know, by this point that these people are gangsters.
Yeah.
And then female dancers, like, come out and start, like, moving around in, like, a house that looks like a fish.
Yeah.
And they're like
the fish, like, drew me.
When I will say, though, when I saw that scene, like, it's on the cover of the DVD.
Yeah,
it's like a fish house.
Yeah,
with the ladies come out of the mouth dancing.
Yeah.
And I saw that scene and I was like, this is amazing. I love this. I don't know what's going on, but it's so weird and I love it. And then it turned to really horrible and I was oh, this is not that great.
But it will throw, like, the random women in their outfits are, I love them.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I want one. That's super cute.
They're cute.
But them just dancing randomly and happy about it. And then the Anwar's, like, you know, right-hand man guy. He's like a bigger gentleman with longer hair. And he's always dressed up as one of the women or a woman in it.
Right.
And it's weird. I don't know what the idea for that was. I don't know what the purpose for that was. Like, why are you a woman? Why are you continually just...
That was great, though. I agree. That was really funny.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that mix of, like, it's all real, but it's also through the eyes of the people who committed these crimes and sort of, like, how they see themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
It really is, because they don't think that they've done anything wrong.
Right. They think they're, like, a Western star or something.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
John
weird.
Wayne, he said, he was like, I learned everything I did by watching, like, old American, you know, Hollywood movies and John Wayne and just killing people.
Right.
And
gangster,
I was like,
movies.
What? This is crazy. There was a scene that I wanted to talk about that showed, like, the fear in one of the, Chinaman's, like, he was in the film and he was like, oh, I want to tell you guys about a situation that happened to my stepdad. And now his stepdad raised him as a kid, and he's talking about the situation was these gangsters came and knocked on his door early in the morning. He said he was, like, around 11 or 12 years old, and they took his stepdad and murdered him and just threw him off, like, randomly. And this guy and his granddad found his stepdad, and they had to just, like, kind of bury him like cattle.
Yeah, on the side of the road.
On the side of the road, right. And so he's like that. He's kind of telling Anwar and them, you know, this should be in the movie just to show how kind of ruthless you are. But as he's telling them this story, and you can see him reliving it, he's so sad about it, but he's keeping a smile on his face and laughing about, like, this is what happened. Yeah, it's so crazy. It's so funny. But you could feel and see, like, the horror and how scared he was. And then they just basically, no, the movie's too long anyway. We don't have time to do that. It'd be, like, too much extra work. And then just kind of shoved it off. And then there's a scene where he has to play somebody who's being accused as being a communist. And he's just sitting there like, I might die for real. Like, that's the look on his face. I felt so scared for him.
That scene was amazing. I totally agree. Like, because he's describing, like, because his stepdad was Chinese and describing him being killed.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah. And then after that, we had to go live at the edge of the woods. And I never went to school, and I had to teach myself how to read and write. Like, with this, like, he's saying that, like, laughing.
And with this look of horror and terror on his face.
And he keeps saying, like, not that I'm, you know, saying anything bad about you guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, not that that's, like, bad. And he keeps, like, and then in the scene when he is in, like, the reenactment kind of scene, he plays a victim that the gangsters are then, like, interviewing or interrogating.
Yeah.
And he does have a look like he might die. And he is, like,
sincerely,
which makes him the best actor that they ever had in the film. And he, like, you can see him and he's, like, acting like he's being interrogated. But he also just, like, he plays it so well because he's terrified, and because I'm sure That's right after he just told the story of his stepdad being killed. Like, he's crying real
for
tears.
Real, yeah.
Like, snot. Like, he's, like, really crying.
Yeah, it was horrifying.
It was so, like, moving. It was amazing.
There was also, I felt so bad because the way they made this film is that, did you see the part where they went into the small village and was kind of terrorizing, like, the women and children? Yep. So in that scene, Anwar was, like, after they were like telling the kids, just be really scared. It's just a movie. It's just a movie. And then Anwar's like, these people, these kids are going to think that we are they're going to hate us forever. He used that word. He's like, they're going to hate us for the rest of their lives. And you can see that it was hurting Anwar to a point where he didn't want to finish, like, do it. But he's like, because I know what we're going to do. And for the film, their so-called film, they burned down their real houses.
Really? Oh.
And he was like, that's why they're going to hate us forever.
I don't think I saw that part. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, is Anwar talking, like, we have to burn down their houses and they're going to hate us forever just because this was a movie. And I was like, why did you have to? That's how amateur you could tell that they were being in this film, in the movie-making part of Anwar's story, is because they literally burned down houses just to see houses being burnt down.
That is insane. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's like these village, these ladies and young kids, they don't have anywhere else to go after you burn down their houses. It was so hard. I was like, really? That you don't have to do that? There's other ways. But I guess, you know, financially, they couldn't or whatever.
I mean,
but
when they were reenacting these scenes of fantasy, they were very real.
Yeah. And This was just super, super hard for me to watch. I will say one last thing about this movie is, did you watch it to the very end? So, well, at the very end, there is, in the end credits, more than, I want to say, 80%.
Oh, yes.
It said anonymous.
Yes.
Because they didn't want people to know who helped them make the movie. Yeah. Because, and I feel like that still just shows how scared they really are. Because of, you know, what happened.
Right.
So they're like, I don't want people to know that I helped make this. Are you crazy? Like,
right.
I still have to live here.
And there, yeah, a lot of people who were Indonesian who made the film, they're still terrified.
Yeah, it is. And it's just hard. If you want to go watch it, it's called The Act of Killing. It's very, you know, informative.
Yeah. I would also say it's very long.
It is. It's like over 2 hours.
Yeah. So be prepared for that.
Yeah. Take a few breaks. And it is hard to watch. So prepare yourself for that, too. We're going to take another break and come back and talk about Dark Money.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We're going to go move on and talk about Dark Money. This movie was released this year, 2018, on July 13th. It was directed by a woman named Kimberly Reed. And just a short kind of summary of it, it was, it had to do with, after the ruling of the Citizens United case, dark money started flooding elections nationwide. Now, what the Citizens United case was, it was basically what allowed for corporations to fund or help candidates' campaigns. in any way they wanted to without having a record of it. Like, they didn't have to say what they funded it for or what. Like, they didn't say, we're giving you this much amount of money for all your advertisements or anything like that. And that's basically what dark money is untraceable money that comes from corporations and other sources. Currently, they're claiming that they could be outside sources such as other countries that helped fund elections for specific people that they wanted to win. So that's what the idea of this whole movement was.
And the Citizens United case basically let a corporation be like a person. Because a person can give funds to any candidate they want. And a corporation now can do that just like a person can. But the problem is corporations can donate so much more money. You know, so it makes a big difference.
It really does. It really does, because either way, like, if one person donates $100, that's not going to persuade you in any way that, like, how $1 million would.
Right. And it didn't used to, like, companies couldn't do that before. Right. They weren't allowed to give money to, like, candidates and things like
they
that.
They were, but there was a limit. I think it was $600 and something.
Yeah, there was just more limitations on it. You know, and now they can, and it's... like, they're doing it in this untraceable way.
Yeah, and it's so unfair. Now, the people of Montana, are standing up to stop history from repeating itself, because apparently this happened before in around 1912 area, when a corporation called Anaconda basically took over Montana in that same way. So that's when it first started, where they were like, no, now we have to put a stop to corporations, or put a limit on what they can or can, or like how they can provide funds and in which way. So the people of Montana, they have a lot of resources up there, as far as like water, oil, natural gas and stuff like that. So
copper.
Yeah. I think the Anaconda had to do with the copper. And, anyway, these corporations, this is basically the whole movie is about the people of Montana fighting to keep corporation money out of elections. These, let's see, what did it say? What did I write here? These men wanted to keep a hold of the benefits of dark money. Oh, certain men. There was a lot of men. Who was it? Right here. Art Wittick, Jason Priest, Jeff, and Jeff Eastman. They were all candidates, or I think previous or current political figures in Montana, either like governor, mayor, something like that. But they want to keep it, keep dark money in, because it benefits them. And it, you know, I know Art Wittick was one of the guys. I think he was actually a senator. I want to say a senator or representative, but he won because of dark money. And like, if you watch the film, it shows that he finally gets caught, and he actually has to go to trial because of, you know, how he accepted the money and how he used it, or how it was used to beat his opponent at that time. I don't even remember who the opponent was. There was a guy named, this is so funny, John S. Adams.
Oh, yeah. John Adams.
Yes, John Adams. And he used to work for a large newspaper out there, but they ended up firing him because of the story he was writing. And I think it was like five other newspapers fired like half of their employees, like their journalists and reporters, because they were reporting on this situation. Which what's cool, and the silver lining of him being fired, is he got to start his own company called the Montana Free Press, an online newspaper, and it's been getting a lot of attention throughout Montana, and a lot of I think from what I remember watching is even some national news pointed out some of his articles and the importance it has in Montana specifically. So I thought that was really cool, that even though he got fired, he kind of kept moving on and kept that drive to like tell the truth, you know what I mean? Or find like what's real or behind certain stories. So, I know that, let's see.
What I felt about this film was that there's like this sense that dark money is like, it's kind of like, it's hard to trace because of the way that corporations are covering it up
yeah.
in many ways. Because what I didn't really understand before watching this film was how the money was getting into candidates' hands. Because it sounded like some candidates didn't necessarily know that it was corporation money.
Yeah.
Because the corporation would set up like a super PAC mm-hmm. or like they would make a shell organization.
Yeah.
You know, they would say, oh, we're, I don't know, Moms Against Abortion or something.
Yeah.
They would like make a shell and then they would funnel all of their money
through
into that organization. Yeah. And then that's the organization that would send out like they sent mostly snail mail mm-hmm. type campaign materials.
Right.
And so really, when you trace back the money, it just went back to that shell corporation
right.
or super PAC. You didn't know what company it came from. And then those materials, they like had a strategy where they would wait like 3 days before the election. And
yeah.
these are like local elections.
Yeah.
They would wait 3 days before and then they would flood everyone's inboxes
yeah.
with all of this material that was really like, oh, Moms Against Abortion. And then it'd
yeah,
be
just
like,
some ridiculous...
this candidate supports abortion and et cetera.
Yeah.
And it would just like say that. And basically the candidate would be smeared and
yeah.
they would have no time to react
exactly.
before polls. And so they would lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like destroying basically people's political careers in this
right.
way because they couldn't fight back against that type of money.
Right, exactly. And in such a short amount of time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And so I thought that was the craziest part to me too. It's like you can't even trace anything to anybody or any corporation
right.
or business. And so that's what the people of Montana are fighting to keep out
mm-hmm.
of the elections. And I feel like it's important that everybody watch this because it does affect our government,
mm-hmm.
you know, in general, because we see it happening everywhere. You know what's going on. So be aware of the candidates and who they really are, what they really stand for, because they could just be promising a bunch of stuff. And then even if you do get like this random, you know, thing in the mail a couple of days before elections, don't let that change your perspective on, you know, maybe this person is like that. Like, do your research before and find out who you're voting for or who you're not going to vote for. So if something does come up, you are pretty solid on your decision
right.
that you're going to make.
And also the thing with that is like, not only are you voting in someone who is funded by like a company, the thing is then that company can use that person who's now in some sort of official position as like a puppet.
Yeah.
Because they're basically saying they no longer have to lobby. They just own someone.
Yeah.
They don't have to put in their efforts to send a lobbyist to convince people. They can just use that candidate's power, you know, to
yeah.
vote how they want that person to vote.
Yeah.
And then that person gets to be in office, you know, maybe do other things.
Right.
But if a company is like, hey, you know, we want you to do that. Remember how we funded you for that? You
exactly.
know, or the shell company that isn't real, you know, the shell like
yeah.
group, the super
right.
PAC is saying, remember how we funded you? Well,
mm-hmm.
we want you to do this now.
Exactly.
But it's actually, you know, some
yeah.
other company. And
yeah.
it could even be a company out of state. You
mm-hmm.
know, so if Montana has a candidate like that, it could be from another state that's funded that person to get into office
exactly.
because they might have a business in Montana,
yep.
you know, and
yeah.
that's what they want.
And they want to control it all. Now, I thought this was an interesting topic, like subject in there. So when this happened, like in the 1912, yeah. So they ended up forming this, it's called the Federal Elections Commission. I think this was actually formed in like the 80s.
Oh, this was
like
formed
that.
Later. This
yeah.
was not formed because of the Montana
right.
thing.
It was a lot later.
Yeah.
But
this was in the federal government.
Right. So the federal government had this, it was called the Federal Elections Commission. It's still there. And they wanted it to be equal, like 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans, and they wanted them to all be the ones who voted on if something was good or not.
Right.
And it got to a point where there was a loophole that the Republicans found, and which was they all vote on one thing, whether, and they stick to their vote. So if one person says like, yeah, we're going to stick to this, then all three of them have to vote the same way. So
right.
that way it will always be a 0-0 vote or a 3-3 vote and nothing changes.
Right.
And so the committee person, the chairperson of that, her name was Anne Ravel.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is how deep it goes. So she knew that because nothing was getting resolved, because they were the backup to finish, like, a resolve the situation, because they were unable to get so many things resolved because it was a 3-3 vote or just a 0-blank vote, she ended up quitting or resigning because she was like, nothing's happening. The government doesn't care. Nobody cares. Like, you guys, this, it's set up to where even if something is so wrong and we vote for it, you guys are going to vote your way. We're going to vote our way. It's not going to work. So nothing's going to change.
Right.
And that just frustrated her to the point where she was just like, I can't. And at the end, she ended up writing a personal letter to Mr. Trump and just saying, you need to really think about what's going on right now. Like, be aware that nothing is getting resolved, but I feel like he is aware of it.
Yeah. And they were just saying, like, they were supposed to be like the police of elections,
yeah,
you know, and influences. And basically she just said, we can't get anything done. So she's left. And I feel like they're also like, the government doesn't care about this organization. They're not being funded.
Yeah.
You know, it just like she just, as you were saying, like, she couldn't get anything done. And the Federal Elections Commission is basically defunct now.
It is. And there's nothing they can do about it. On that, they're both good movies. Check them out if you want to. If you're into politics, if you're into... Yes, I strongly recommend both of them because it just it opens your mind to like the things that are happening.
Right.
Not
if you
just
wanna,
horrible.
But yeah, if you want to prepare for Halloween, reality is scarier.
It really
you
is.
You should watch these movies.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Please join us next time for more movie talk. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.